want to look at a few verses in Luke, 7th chapter. Read a little bit this to get the thought in the 7th chapter of Luke in the 19th verse. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And then Jesus answering unto them, Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see and the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are glorious appareled are living delicate, and delicacies are in the king's court. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I send to you, and much more than a prophet. And just want to pick up this little thought in here of Jesus saying to these people, what did you go out to see? What did you... You know, there's a lot said in the Bible about being able to see. There's a lot talked about blindness in the scriptures, and about being able to see. The scripture says in, I think, Proverbs 29, where there's no vision, the people perish. It's very important to have a vision, to be able to see, to be able to understand what, I say this, what can't be told even, to be able to understand what's important in life and what's valuable and things like that. And without, this is used a lot, without a vision, the people perish. Without a goal, a purpose, without a vision towards something, to be able to see something, without that, there's no incentive, no direction. This passage here about John said, what did you go out to see? What did you see? Did you see it the way it was? Or did you only see with your eyes? One of the most valuable things we have, I think all of us recognize this. I know it'd be worse on me. The worst thing to lose, you're all blurry, by the way. And I want to get to that more, but vision is important. To be able to see lets us function. There's handicapped people that have cars that's specially made for them so they can drive. There's people that can't use their legs that have cars made so they can throttle on the steering wheel or throttle with some, so they can drive. There's ways to be able to do it. I don't know how you'd make a car to drive if you can't see. It's very important to be able to see, be able to understand. And it's that way spiritually also. And the question was, what did you go out and to see? What did you see? You went out to John. What was you expecting? And when you saw John, I think Jesus was referring to something here to these people and saying something to them that you might look at John and him not be impressive. If you don't have a spiritual mind, a spiritual heart, unless you've got some understanding here, John's not going to impress you. John did not impress the world. John wore camel hair clothes, the roughest that you... You didn't look at him and get the idea of his majesty. When you looked at John, you wasn't going to see that. When you looked at John and the way he lived and what he done, did you really see what he was put here for? Did you have a vision and an understanding here? You know, I think the people that would have had a vision and an understanding of God, God would have witnessed to them through John. They would have known that John had something. But you know, without a vision, they wouldn't have been impressed with John. The world wouldn't be impressed with John. You know, the world ain't going to be impressed with us either. But people that have a heart towards God, we can have an impression upon them. Lord, help us to have a vision of the truth today. One that goes beyond, I want to say, we do talk about having a vision of the church. I'm talking about a little congregation in Green Bank. I'm talking about what God established, a vision of what he had in mind. But I want to go down to the reality of it and really be able to have a vision. Lord, help me to see myself. Help me to be able to look and see, what did you go out, what's your expectation? What did you go out to see? Scripture in Revelations, I won't go to that. Scripture in Revelations that says, there's these people that said, they looked at their lives, their situations of life, and they looked and said, I'm rich. I've needed nothing. I've got all of this stuff. I'm rich. I'm valuable. I've got my health. I've got all of this stuff. And I'm in need of nothing. And you know, the Lord looked at them and said, you say that you're rich. You say that you're increased. You say that. But what I see need. I see poverty. I look at this and see wretchedness, nakedness. I look at this and see what you ain't seeing at all, because you don't have a vision about what it's about, and you've concluded that this is what it's about. And I'm blessed with the material things of life, and therefore I have need of nothing. And the Lord looked at him and said, you have need of everything. None of this makes you rich or valuable. And the Lord said to them, I'm going to encourage you to this, to get you some eye salve. You know that vision... We call us humans the perfect vision, 20/20. You have 20/20 vision. But you know, blindness is not always complete loss of sight. Blindness can be veritable. You can have, I've went most all my life, I don't remember not having my right eye 20/50. It's not near 20/50 now. But when it was poor, it was 20/50. I've had exceptional. Eye doctor said I had 20/15 in my left eye, compensating for my 20/50 in my right eye. And I had really, really good vision. But in my right eye, I was, and I would be now legally blind, even though I can see. Well, I know you also, I could make you out. But there is variables of being able to see. You can lose your eyesight and be able to see and function and do certain things, but you don't see like you should see. You don't see the details of things. You don't see the colors the way they are. You don't see distance. You don't. You can lose parts of your eyesight down and not be totally blind. I think it's true also spiritually that you can have some vision spiritually. You can believe in God. You can know that there's some truths. You can know that certain things is in there. But you know, you can be really hampered by real spirituality because there's a loss of sight. You can't really see what you should be able to see. And Lord, help us to have sight, to have real eyesight. You know, we live in a time, in a world, in a place now that it amazes me of how blind people are to the truth, and to be able to look at it and say, can't you see that if you do this, this is where you're going to go if you do this? It's been documented. It's been seen. Thus as the older have seen it time and time and time again. If you pursue your self-interest, if you pursue your own way, do you not see where that's going to go? Us with understanding, if I can say it that way, can't we see where our world's going? Can't you look at the generation that we live in now and see where... I can look and... Maybe I couldn't have predicted it altogether, but I can tell you right now that you can look back 20 years ago and predict that if you go this way, it's going to take you to this place. I can see that. It's plain to see it. The scripture talks about if the blind lead the blind, who's leading? Who's leading? Who's out there really saying that we're blind? Our nation, our world, we're blinded. We don't look, we can't see what's really going on with this. We can't see. And we're getting to the place in this in our country and in our world. And Lord, help us to be able to see in this time and not be distracted by what the world's doing, but to be able to really see. Because there is so much out there that looks good, that is a part of our world now. We need to be able, the scripture says, to walk circumspectly. Not as fools. What's it talking about? You know, walking circumspectly is circular. Is what it means. What it means is that fools rush in where brave men fear to go. I mean, wise men fear to go. You walk circumspectly. The idea is that you walk around it and you look at it. You see it for what it is. You don't just rush into it. Not as the fools would run in, but look at it as wise. We're in this world today. Lord, give us a vision. Give us some eyesight about my own personal life. Where is this decision going to take me tomorrow? Lord, I need to be able to see the future. We say, well, nobody can see the future. Wisdom sees the future, abstractly at least. It doesn't see it all together in details, but wisdom says that if I do this, I will go there. Lord, give us a vision about things, that we don't end up like the world. If I follow the course of this, this is what I'm going to end up being. I'm going to end up being blinded to my own needs, to my own condition, to my own spiritual condition, that I'm going to come down at the end of life's way to meet the Lord. And I've never had a vision. Without the vision, without where there's no vision, the people perish. Lord, give me a vision. Help me to be able to see beyond the world's eyes, beyond my own eyes, and help me to be able to see your purposes, your causes for my life. What am I supposed to be in this life? What am I supposed to be doing? I can't answer it for you, but God definitely can answer it for us. We'll look at a scripture Oh, I like to go to this from time to time. It's in the third chapter of John. I want to pick that up. Familiar scripture about a man that couldn't see. I think he wanted to see, though. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, third chapter of John, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, see, there's some eyesight. Now that's some eyesight. But he didn't have clear eyesight, but he had some eyesight. He had some understanding. He looked at the situation and said, out of the honesty of his heart, he was a Pharisee. The Pharisee was not taking this position. The Pharisee was taking an opposite position and calling Jesus Beelzebub. But Nicodemus went contrary to that because he had some eyesight. He had some understanding about God. And he said, nobody can do this unless God's with them. We know that thou art of God. So he was confirming what he could understand. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. He just can't see it. So true. You can't see it. There's so much hidden. Unless you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, listen to his understanding here. How can a man be born again, born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? That's a revelation. That's a new idea. Lord, if you don't help me, I can't see. This is where we're at. I'm going to think I'm rich and need nothing. I'm going to think I'm in a good place. And the Lord's going to come along and say, you're wretched and poor and miserable and naked. Get you some eye salve. Lord, where's the eye salve store? Lord, the throne of grace. The place where God helps us. Lord, help me to be able to see what I need to be able to see. Nicodemus can't see this. Lord, Jesus was loving Nicodemus and telling him this. I'm starting you on your way, Nicodemus, to be able to see something that you never could see before. We can't do it without the Lord. We need God to help us and give us a vision. We can't create it on ourselves. Lord, give me the vision that you want me to have. How can these things? Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I said unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye have received not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, and how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Here's what I think the Lord was saying to him. There has already been enough done in my ministry for you to see if you'll look. See, what? Here's the idea of eyesight. Your eyes are made to be able to see, but without light, you can't see. So you need eyes to see, but you also need light to see. The scripture says that Jesus lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It's not Jesus' fault. But there's another aspect to being able to see. You got to open your eyes. You don't see when you're sleeping. You got to open your eyes. Not only do you have to open your eyes, but you got to look towards what you want to see. I don't see a lot of things because I ain't paying attention to what I ain't paying. Did you see that? I didn't see nothing. You wasn't looking. The scripture says to watch, to look, to pay. You got to give it attention to be able to see it. We've got the capacity. We have the receptacles to be able to see. But we got to want to be able to see. I got to want what the Lord wants me to see more than what I want to be able to see, because I want to look somewhere else. It takes the Lord to help us. Nicodemus was thrown off here. He was a ruler, a master of Israel. He never heard of no son. He taught people. Do you realize he was he taught people. He was an instructor. He was a Pharisee. And yet, he never taught nobody nothing like this. What are you talking about? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you're a master in Israel and you don't know what we've been talking about, for we wrote down in the scriptures what we prophesied of from the beginning. All of these things are here and you don't know these things? You've not been looking. You know, there was people in the scriptures, I marvel at these, and they seem to have little impact, but yet their testimony is so valuable. You know, there was a woman, I think her name was Anna, that served continually in the temple. Nobody needed to tell her. Nobody needed to come and tell her about Jesus. Why? Because she served God continually. She looked, she watched. She could see. Without a vision, the people perished, but Anna wasn't perishing. Because she had a vision. You know, there was a man in the temple when Jesus was born named Simeon, where everybody denied and couldn't understand it. They brought Jesus in for the circumcision, I believe the eighth day. They bring him in, and Simeon says, basically, Lord, I can take me now. I can go now. For my eyes have beheld the consolation of Israel. Well, Simeon, who told you? Nobody had been looking. God, a vision can see, can be inspired by the Lord, and can have understanding. I don't hardly know how to say this exactly, but I believe it's true. I believe the Lord leads us and can help us to understand and to see. And when I was first saved, and I didn't feel like, not that I do now, but feel like I didn't have no command of the Word of God or understood much. You know, people would say things, tell me what the Bible meant. I mean, from all quarters of my life. And there was times that I didn't know why to tell you that that was not true. That I knew it was not true. Because I could see. Because the Lord gave me some insight and I could see, and that didn't witness to me what it was supposed to witness, and I knew it was wrong. And He usually spoke of the flesh more than holiness. He usually spoke to the point that I can get by with something if I want to. I knew that ain't right. I don't want to. I want to be able to see. So Nicodemus couldn't understand it. Or thou a master in Israel, and knewest not these things? Verily I say unto thee, we speak that we know, and we testify that we have seen, and we receive, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man that ascendeth up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now here, was a Pharisee. Nicodemus got to hear the one that spoke like no other man spoke. He spoke with authority and power and penetration of the Spirit. And he spoke directly to Nicodemus this truth that you and I hold, that God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Think of that. Think of the Lord saying that to him. I don't know where it happened at. I think Nicodemus was working and had some eyesight. But there was a revelation. We need a revelation, folks. We need to be able to see. There was a guy in the scriptures. He was a man that was lame. No, I'm sorry, he was blind. There was a man that was blind, and Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. What a wonderful thing. You'd think everybody would be glad for that. You know about anybody in your life that could use a healing, use help, use a miracle? Well, this man got one. Everybody should have praised God. But there was some that was after Jesus, so they accused him of a bad deed. So they get this man's parents and tried to get the parents to say that he wasn't really blind or this didn't really happen. And the parents didn't want to be under the gun of that and under that, so they simply said, he's of age. But basically, don't involve us and go ask him. He's of age, go talk to him. So they went to talk to him, and what they said to him was, we know this man's a sinner. So give God the praise. I love this story. Because this is irrefutable. I don't have to know everything. I don't know everything. You want to tell me what you want me to tell you what I know? I was blind. And now I see. I couldn't see before. And now I can. And you can make all the arguments that you want to make about the man. But here's something you can never take from me. Every one of us have to have, in order to make it, it's going to have an experience that we tell the devil and everybody that's going to gainsay us, I was blind and now I see. Well, what about the great theologies? What about when the Lord's going to come back? And what about millennial reign? And what about all this? All about these big. I don't know how to debate all those all together. But this is what I know and have to know. I was blind, and now I see. I don't know about all the rest of it, but I was blind, and now I see. Lord, give me a vision. Help me to be able to see what I couldn't see naturally. I'm affected by my mom and dad. I'm affected by my family. I'm affected by the culture of Webster County. I'm affected by my own raisings and my own faults and my own failures. I'm affected by all of the influences around me that I can think something or be led to think something or see something because I want to, and I'm going to have the Lord to clear up all that and give me a vision beyond all of that to help me to be able to see what the Lord really wants me to see without bias, because I am very biased about the things that I've been taught and the things that I've done. I'm very biased, and I need the Lord to help me. There's the only way I can do it. I need God to help me to do it. Or I'm going to remain with the biases and remain with all those things in my life towards my own experience of not careful. So the man says, oh no, but this I know. And I imagine till the day this man died, he was able to say, I was blind, and now I see. And you can't take that from me no matter what. When Jesus said in the 6th chapter of John, when Jesus, many of his disciples walked no more with him, He asked his disciples, will you go away also? You know what he said? Where would he go? Thou have the word of eternal life. And Jesus said to them, flesh and blood, Simon, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. This come from God. This was a revelation. The understanding that you got about what this is. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That wasn't built on the Catholic Church, folks. You know what that was built on? Revelation to the heart. The church of God is made up with people that have vision, that have been given something that can't be taken away from it. We're a collective body of people. This is what the church of God is supposed to be, a collective body of people that have the experience of salvation. That's who we are. And then we can begin to see. Lord, help our vision to be keen. Look at a scripture with me in Isaiah 59th chapter. Oh, let's see, Isaiah 59. This is so descriptive. Ninth verse, I'll start. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doeth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. This is so descriptive. It seems like it describes our world today so much. There's still a desire. We want right. We want good. We want these things. Let ourselves go so far away from God and our culture and time that the most hideous darkness is prevailing. Ridiculousness is prevailing. Listen to this. We grope for the wall like the blind. You get the description? What's he trying to say here? What's he thinking about? What's he trying to say? Why would a blind person grope for the wall? Well, to keep him from stubbing his nose up on it, for one thing. You know why he reaches for the wall? He needs to go somewhere, and he don't know where to go, and he can't see where to go, so he's got to feel his way to go. So he reaches, tries to find the wall so he can follow the wall out. Well, Lord, help us. Is that the joy of our life? Is that the way we're going through our Christian experience, groping for the wall? Never being able to see what I'm supposed to be doing and where I'm supposed to be going, groping? This is the description that he was giving Israel there, waiting for the light, but they got darkness. Wanting brightness, but it's nothing but paleness and darkness. And they're like the blind that reach through the wall. And when there's work to do, there's so much to do, so much to accomplish, so much to obtain. And you're instead of there being able to accomplish it and doing it and being forceful and winning, groping for the wall. What did you think about going to Elkins tomorrow if you was blind and you had to, every footfall had to feel for the pavement? You wouldn't make it to Elkins tomorrow. Not from here, you wouldn't. This is the idea that the writer is getting us. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. I think that's such a depiction of the world that we live in today. Genesis 6 says that the people had got so far, went so far, they could not see. And it said the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. They couldn't They couldn't think beyond the thoughts of their own selfish desires and interests. They couldn't think any longer in the terms of God. Boy, we're getting there fast. But Lord, help us to have a vision. I want to look at another scripture in 13th chapter of Matthew. Oh, let's see, 13 and... Oh, 11th verse. He answered, 13:11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but that to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Why? For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes. You know, that what come to my mind in this reading was, there's a child that's afraid of the dark or afraid of something that closes their eyes. I never could understand how that really helped, but there's people that do it. It always seemed to me like it'd be worse to close your eyes. There's a monster in the room. Close your eyes and he can't get you, of course. We all know that. It says, in this reading, it gives a really good there. It says, they closed their eyes, lest that they might see something that they don't want to see. Lord, help us to want to see. There is a place to go. I don't believe that we can muster it up ourselves. I don't think I have the capacity to understand spiritual things without the Lord. I need the Lord to help me. I need the Lord to help me to know, is this dangerous? When we deal with the things in our life, should I or shouldn't I? You're not going to get a list on the board from us. You're just not. We just don't do it that way. We don't even think that it's profitable for you to really take it from men. It's encouraging, and we're here to edify one another. Really, the only answer is to get this through the revelation of the Spirit of God into your own heart. That's what we want to have. Lord, help me to see and understand. What is the value? Is there any value in holy living? Is holiness a reality of biblical life? I mean, should I pursue holiness, righteous living? Most of the world has discarded it. Most of the Christian world has discarded it. I say they have no vision. There's no eyesight. Lord, help us to be able to see what the value of these things is. Help us to be able to see and understand that if I plant a seed today, I can eat of it tomorrow. Help me to be able to see and understand what the value of the next generation is if we do things in this generation, what's going to be the value of the next? And vice versa, help us to see. Lord, help us to see the detriment that we can cause by not being faithful. And when I'm wretched and miserable and naked, help me to see it. Get yourself some eye salve, and so, because it's really hard to respond when you don't see. So give me some eye salve, that I'll be able to put it on my eyes and take away. You remember the guy in the Bible that the Lord touched? He touched him twice. You remember he touched him and he could see. It said that he could see, I think, men as trees. Well, men ain't trees. It'd be better not seeing anything, but how much good is that? I mean, it's better than nothing. But are you satisfied with seeing men as trees? No. No. It's trees walking. It's trees walking. Moving around. All you could see was this and this, and it was blurry and that. No, there's got to be more than that. And he touched him again. And this time the scales fell off. Now he can see. I wonder if Jesus left anybody that he... I wonder if I had went and got a test, I wonder what their eyesight would have been. Jesus healed somebody and they had 20/40 eyesight. I don't know about that. I would say that he gave them 20/20. That's what I would say. Jesus healed them. He gave them 20/20 and they can see. I think Nicodemus ended up with 20/20 eyesight at the end of this thing spiritually. I think the Lord has for us the answers that we need. Lord, help us in our day and time to not be a part of those that perish, but that we have an eyesight to be able to see. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.